The meeting open so that we're right on time. I would like to acknowledge the Quandamooka people who are the traditional custodians on the land on which we meet. I would also like to pay respect to their elders both past and present and extend the respect to any other Indigenous Australians who are present. All members of the public present at the meeting must A, not without prior approval of the chairman, make any audio or video recording or take any photographs. B, remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way. C, not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with persons present. D, be suitably dressed. And E, turn off all mobile devices to silent mode and leave the room when making calls. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements and may, with or without such warning, require the person to leave the meeting and not return for such period as the chairperson decides, and this period may include future meetings. I'd now like to ask for a mover and seconder that a leave of absence be granted to Mayor Karen Williams, who is attending the ALGA meeting in Toowoomba as an LGAQ board representative. Moved by Councillor Edwards, seconded by Councillor Hughes. All in favour? Thank you. Unanimous. And all right. Okay, so today we're lucky enough to have Stephen Thomas from the South Redland Baptist Church to lead us in a devotional segment. So thank you and welcome.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Councillors, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the opportunity to bring this morning's devotion. It is my prayer that these few words will encourage you. And as I thought about what I would share with you this morning, I'm very aware that at times councillors are frustrated by regulation, which may prevent you from making decisions. And I recall the story of Daniel and the lion's den, which you may be familiar with. It was a most unfortunate situation for Daniel. But it actually begins with words about government structure. In Daniel chapter 6, from verse 1, we read that Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two other administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interest. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. As is often the case, others wanted Daniel's job, and they used law and regulation to tie the king's hands. They went to the king and had him make a law. And in verse 8 it says, "Now, Your Majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked." So King Darius signed the law. The king now found himself trapped by a bad law, a law which by tradition and protocol he could not change. This caused him great turmoil, because his officials had deceived him to have Daniel removed, and Daniel was placed in a lion's den. I think it would be fair to say that all government officials have lost sleep at times because they feel trapped by law and regulation. Sometimes it forces you to make a decision you do not want to make. Now, as you may know from the story, God miraculously rescued Daniel from this situation. But I would suggest to you that local councils shouldn't rely on a miracle to override a law which prevents you from making a better decision than is permitted. So I'd like to ask, how do you deal with the frustration of being bound by something you may not agree with? And I would like to suggest for you and for all of us that rules and regulations which are imperfect are better than none at all. Ecclesiastes 5:8-9 says this: "Don't be surprised if you see a poor person being oppressed by the powerful, and if justice is being miscarried throughout the land. For every official is under orders from higher up, and matters of justice get lost in red tape and bureaucracy. Even the king milks the land for his own profit. As councillors, in fact for all of us, we are under those who are higher up. Things are sometimes not what we would desire. Red tape and bureaucracy might cause your best efforts at just decisions to be lost. But please take what encouragement you can in the words, even the king milks the land for his own profit. Every one of us is reliant on this land for our living. Even the king, or in our case, the parliament, is reliant on this land. It is better, as Ecclesiastes 5 tells us, to have the king, to have rules and regulations that are sometimes imperfect and frustrating, than to have none at all. And even in those times when you are frustrated by those rules, they were designed to protect the land, because without the rules, power and wealth would always win, and that is never a good situation for a community. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in the city of Galatia, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." So I'd encourage you today, at times when you are frustrated, at times when you may feel bound to make decisions that you would rather not, at times when you think there could be a better way, it is better to have the rules and regulations than to have anarchy. Let me pray for you. Lord, I want to ask your blessing upon these councillors and officials. When they feel trapped by rules and regulations, help them to see a positive way through. When they are compelled by those rules and regulations to make a decision which they would rather not, help them to have peace that they have done all they can. Lord, help them to not give up when faced with frustration, to not get tired of seeking to do what is good. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Deputy Mayor has asked me this morning to simply pray, in light of world situations, for America, which causes us all great concern. So we ask that God would bless the United States of America as they go to elections today. But even though we look on in Australia with great consternation, that somehow through all of their situation, peace would prevail. Amen. Thank you.
So as we all wait and see what happens in America, we'll continue on with our general meeting. Can I have a mover and a seconder that the minutes of the general meeting held on the 12th of October be confirmed? Moved Councillor Edwards, seconder Councillor Gleeson. Were there any comments on correctness of the minutes? I'll put the motion. All in favour? Unanimous, but Councillor Hughes is absent from the room. No, both of them are here, they're just not in their seats. Right, minutes outstanding, matters outstanding from the minutes of the previous general meeting, there are none. Now, I haven't been advised.
There is one public, but I'm not sure if she's here.
No, the lady who did advise us isn't here at the moment. Yes, Councillor Hewlett.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. That was for the Teak Lane presentation, but that has been pushed out to the 23rd of November, so she'll be presenting on that day.
Right. Was there anyone else in the public gallery that wanted to speak today? No? Okay, so we'll move right along on that one. Petitions and presentations. Did we have any petitions or presentations? I thought I heard a yep. No?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. We'll move on from that one. Order of business. Is there any order of business, any motion to change the order of business? No? And they're both turned off. Right. So we're on to number 10. And councillors are reminded of their responsibilities under the Local Government Act 2009 in relation to a councillor's material personal interest or conflict of interest about a matter to be discussed at a meeting, and a summary of responsibilities are included in the agenda. So we'll move on to the reports to council, 11.1, organisational services, 11.1.1. The Operational Plan Quarterly Performance Report, September 2016. Can I have a mover and a seconder for that? Yep. Paul, Councillor Gleeson moved and Councillor Bishop seconded it. Now, I did ask the General Manager, who's not in the room at the moment.
Joe, you will?
Thank you. Just to explain the importance of the operational plan today. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. So this report sets out a quarterly update against the annual operational plan. The annual operational plan is the one-year plan towards our corporate plan. So you can see we've got the 8 outcomes with a number of activities under each one. Officers from the various departments give us a status and a comment. So happy to take any questions.
Were there any questions on this one? Councillor Bishop and then Councillor Elliott.
Mine's not so much a question, just a comment. First of all, just acknowledging that so many of these tasks are on track and our officers are exemplary in so many regards. It's a fantastic thing to see, and it's good to align this with our corporate plan. The only two items that were raised as matters of concern are just in relation to point four on page 9, which relate to Quandamooka country. I raised it just as a matter of going forward. I think it's important to acknowledge that North Stradbroke Island is in transition. It's a very important thing for us all to acknowledge the history of the many, many years of meaningful relations between local council, state government, federal government, and the Indigenous community of that island. And these two points of concern, one's related to developing a cultural heritage policy and guideline in line with the draft cultural heritage management plan from CIAC, and the other's just embedding Indigenous cultural awareness training at Redland City Council. They're the only two items in the whole report that have been raised as items of concern. And just going forward, I just think it's important that we do whatever possible to ensure that the Quandamooka people, and particularly through CIAC, have just, if there's ways that we can support, maybe if the drafting of a heritage strategy could be considered as a something that we might get some support from a third-party consultant, maybe there are capacity constraints as that organisation is dealing with a range of issues to do with transition. So I think it's good to continue best practice in that space, and I know that our officers are committed to that in every way they can, and anything that can be done to support that is just something I'd like to encourage that we all look forward to.
Thank you, and the CEO will respond.
Councillors, Councillor Bishop, thank you for that. Look, we too share your concerns. I would just like to point out at this stage that the ILUA is a confidential document, so we are a little constrained into what we can actually put in there, and I do know that CIAC, along with ourselves, take that very seriously, the confidential nature of that. But we are working very hard, and so I think what I might, just to give you a sense of some of the items that's doing that, I might just ask Amanda Daly, who is our Director of HR. One of the major ones which we're working very hard with them is the employment strategy, and that is well and truly delayed. There's no question on that. So just to give you a sense, because I know to respond, that we are doing everything we possibly can with third parties and providing as much information as we can in there. So if Amanda can just give you a brief update on what we're doing with the employment strategy, might give you a sense of where those pressure points are.
Yeah, look, I think your acknowledgement of the difficulties within the organisation are important. So we have an employment strategy commitment in the ILUA, and we've been working with CIAC for a number of years on that. What was requested from CIAC a couple of years back was that the funding that we had to develop the employment strategy, so it's not just for Redland City Council, it's for Redland City, that we provide the funding to CIAC and they actually develop that strategy. They have struggled with that strategy. We have done what we can in terms of giving them as much information as we can so they can write that strategy. So what happened was we were advised that Cameron was actually going to write the strategy. We then worked with him to let him know, you know, what an employment strategy would look like, the process that you would follow, and we kicked that off with a meeting internally. We actually got Bernard Houston to facilitate it because they didn't have those skills. The meeting was fantastic, but the next steps were we are one of the parties, obviously, for Redland City. So they then had to go out and talk to other community and employers across the city. And it has stalled quite a bit. We've shared our concern. We've had many meetings cancelled by CIAC to pursue that employment strategy. But the latest update we have is that actually are going to hire a human resources person to assist them with the strategy. So I think you'll start to see some things start to move. But it has been very difficult. And the other thing I can comment on, which is more in Lex's area, is the cultural heritage training. It's quite restrictive in terms of making people kind of stay overnight. It's a two-day program, and that has excluded some of our employees from actually being able to commit to that. We did raise that as part of the employment strategy to say, can we have some flexibility around what that program looks like? At this stage, no, but we are working on it. So we're actually going to work with Lex to say, can we, HR, be involved to help them develop a program that meets their needs but is kind of scaled back a bit?
Yep, Councillor Bishop.
Which just goes to show the great work that our officers do and have done for a great deal of time. And I think as long as that willingness is there to work towards that, continuing the best practice, and also to understand the benefits of having a strategy. If there is a cultural heritage strategy, we can just make sure that if there's questions that need to be asked, conversations that need to be had, that they can be had early. And if it's important that we all are aware of that and how to do it best. So, yeah, doing it together. Thank you very much. That's all.
Thank you. Our Councillor Elliott.
I'd actually sent an email through to Mr. Clark. It was on short notice. I don't know if Nick's had a time to read it at all. It's just regarding, on page 10 of 18, 5.4.2, the city infrastructure. We've got a copy of the GHD alternate route study. I'm just wondering when we're going to workshop that at all. Can anybody tell me?
Thank you for your email, and apologies I haven't had a chance to read it in between coughing fits and attending the meeting. This may be more one for the Acting General Manager of Infrastructure and Operations to ask, because I think that project resides in his department.
Or are you happy to take that question, or we can take it on notice?
Just let me know. Yeah, sorry.
Yep.
I just looked at the... I just saw Nick was the... signed off on the report, and I just sort of sent it to...
Page 10 of 18, wasn't it, yeah. Councillor Elliott?
Yeah, it's the top one, 5.4.2. A financial update of the Southern Northern Bay Islands Water Transport Alternative Route Study has been commissioned due for completion. Well, I've got a copy of the study, I've had a read of it, and I'm chomping on the bit when we're going to have a workshop to have a talk about it.
Actually, I'm not briefed on that particular study, and I think if we could come back to you... after the meeting and give you more details.
Councillor Elliott, I'll respond to that one. Councillor Edwards requested that be fast-tracked, so we sent that out. We will be announcing towards the end of this week a dedicated project and a project team led by Andrew Ross on the overall transport and connectivity, which is one of the key strategies. In that will be quite an extensive plan around how do we engage the community in looking at some of the innovation rather than just, you know, number of vehicles that are on the road, building bigger roads, you know, pushing for better transport solutions. So we are going to go out and dedicate considerable resources to that. Early stages, councillors will be involved in some workshops once Andrew gets his scope finished, which is due the end of this week, and that will be discussed and for you to have that input into that. And I would imagine, I know that GHD report will form part of the overall strategy that we'll need to discuss and workshop with you around the various locations. And just as you can see in there are some fairly significant implications in that report of both time, expenditure and options for that water-based study. So we're intending to look at some very novel and innovative ways to address that ever-looming issue in the Redlands region. So it's rather than just sit back and pretend that we can build bigger roads, get transport down here, looking at those sort of things. And we're very much mindful of a lot of the work that's been done out of New South Wales. I don't know if you've had a chance, councillors, to get on that site. I know it was distributed with some of the economic development packs. New South Wales Transport has gone quite innovative and engaged universities, so we're going to leverage off that. And also under our Economic Development Committee, there is a series, and I'll get that out before we get to the report, of innovation and innovation hubs and spaces and ways that we can work to try and find different solutions to our ever-growing list of needs in the community, which tend to fall between, you know, our jurisdiction, the state and federal funding. And as we all know, the state and the feds are not very forthcoming to the Redlands region with significant amounts of money.
Thank you. Councillor Gleeson, then Councillor Golly.
Thanks, Madam Chair. As was said before, I just wanted to highlight the projects in the operational plan and where they're up to. Of the 73 projects in total, 63 are either on track or completed, which is about 85% strike rate there. 8 items are being monitored, which is of really no concern at this point. With only two items of concern out of 73, it's only about 3%. That's probably about as good as I've seen it in about 4.5 years. So well done to all involved in that area. As was mentioned before regarding the Stradbroke transitions in the operational plan, I think it's really got to be pointed out that we're a little bit hamstrung on that. We're not the driving force. We didn't make the decisions on the transitional work involved in shutting the mines down over on Stradbroke, and so we've got our hands tied behind our back by the state government on that one.
Thank you. Councillor Golly.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Through you to Bill. Just something that you picked up on there, CEO, was the engagement of the community in relation to transport and connectivity. Over and above engaging university services, we'll be looking at any sort of direct input from local residents as well as to their innovation and ideas.
Very mindful. I was nearly going to use the word absolutely, but apparently that doesn't quite fit in the new lexicon. Yes, to be the example. And I think what we have learnt over the last couple of years that the community have some very good ideas that are sitting out there. It's how do we tap those? And at the same time, how do we raise and lower expectations, if you like? So at the same time, there are some very vocal people on issues which are very much relevant to them, but when you look into the practicality of it, it tends to get a little bit difficult. But that is part of Andrew's remit that we're doing, and I hope that you will see when we get that project plan and workshop through with you quite a different approach, which is best practice and very much benchmarked and leveraging off. And we're using a lot of the feedback we're getting from the Economic Development Committee as well, and I know you've attended those, Councillor, around the opportunities to engage not just the millennials or the teen groups, which, you know, we've had that discussion of late, but right across our segments, and we know we have a very much ageing population as well, and their transport needs are quite different, as well as the Bay Islands. You know, it's quite unique. And it was interesting to watch that, we have quite a unique area, and our public transport, I was watching something last night on the islands around Tasmania, and they are in a similar boat around the amount of infrastructure that they have, the lack of transport. Not the same population as our islands, but still it is an issue. So it is something that I don't know whether there's any easy solutions to it, but we'll definitely try and find some innovative, engage the community right across them and do some segmentation. So I suppose, councillors, watch this space. Andrew is sitting down the back and he's nodding his head, and we want this one to be, because we know the impact it has on our residents, one of those projects that we don't overly raise expectations, but at the same time we very much listen and can progress as best we can.
If there's no further discussion, I'll go back to Councillor Gleeson. Did you want to sum up?
No, thanks, Madam Chair. I think I covered it.
Great. I'll put the motion. All in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. So on to 11.2.2, Planning and Environment Court Matters, list current at the 25th of October 2000. Oh, sorry. I'm having my finger on the wrong spot. 11.1.2, Delegation to CEO, Section 250, Local Government Act 2009. Can I have a mover and seconder, please? Councillor Gleeson, seconded Councillor Bishop. Was there any discussion on this one? So there's no discussion. There was discussion, Councillor Alec? No? Okay, I'll go back to Councillor Gleeson. Did you want to sum up? You're right. Okay, I'll put the motion. All in favour? That's unanimous. Thank you. So now we move on to 11.2, Community and Customer Service. Point one. Decisions made under delegated authority. Can I have a mover and seconder, please? Move Councillor Mitchell, seconded Councillor Tolte. Was there any discussion on this one? No discussion. Councillor Mitchell, did you want to sum up at all?
No, it's all pretty clear.
Pretty clear. Okay, I'll put the motion. All in favour? Unanimous. Going on to 11.2.2, Planning and Environment Court Matters, list current at the 25th of October. Can I have a mover and seconder, please? Move Councillor Hughes, seconded. Councillor Gleeson. Was there any discussion on this one? Yes, Councillor Hughes?
No, thank you, Acting Mayor, Deputy Mayor. Thank you very much. The notes, we understand they are in arrears, the 2 weeks in arrears. We just reiterate that. And these are for noting only. Thank you.
So, Councillor Golly, do you have a...
Just a very quick question. In relation to item number 6 in the listings, and I'm not sure whether I'm allowed to speak to this or about this matter, I just wanted to know whether we were successful in having it struck out as vexatious.
We can't give you that update in this environment, so
okay.
If you ask Andrew directly, he can inform you. So until I, and again, I'm not sure whether it's we've had that decision or it's public yet, so once it's public record of the court, we can discuss it. But if you talk to Claire or Andrew, they can update you. Councillor
okay.
Gallo.
Thank you.
Right, so if there's no further discussion, Councillor Hughes, did you want to sum up?
No, thank you. Happy to move. Thank you.
Thank you. All those in favour? Passed unanimously. Thank you. So we'll move on to 11.2.3, the Economic Development Advisory Board update. If I can have a mover and seconder, please. Move Councillor Mitchell, seconded Councillor Golay. Any discussion on this one? Councillor Bishop?
Oh, thank you very much. Look, I've been attending as many of the Economic Development Board meetings as possible because I think it's a tremendous opportunity for us as a city and certainly as a council to benefit from the learning of a very wise bunch of people who do very much have Redland's best interests at heart in all their discussions. And I know that some recent discussions occurred with yourself, Deputy Mayor, and the Mayor down at a think space down in Sydney, and some thinking that came from there was shared with some of the members of that board. And while that's been relayed to us as councillors and referred to by the CEO as an upcoming series of innovation summits, I think it's important that we as councillors are aware of the great opportunity that asking for innovation from our community as we consult broadly or as we ask people for their thoughts about innovation, addressing certain issues, where the difference is between community development and community consultation and innovation. I think we need to really be clear about what are the expectations of these summits, because I think there are great opportunities to unlock ideas, and they're either going to be ideas that council wants to take forward and pursue because they're in council's corporate plan and stated agenda, but there may be opportunities that come up that are important for the community, and I think it's important that we listen to those. So I think it's going to be very important that we consider going forward, how we tie in the future of community development and consultation with our residents, given that this is under the Economic Development Strategic Framework. Now, that's part of Council's responsibility, but it's not all. So I think there's a great opportunity here for us to look at innovation, ask questions in the community. Some of those things will be aligned with Council policy and strategy. Some of them will not, and I think we need to be clear about how we take those things forward. The CEO referred to raising expectations in the community. That's natural. The community has expectations. How do we allow them to identify their expectations and help them to address their own needs going forward? Because this is an opportunity for that to happen. I think it's important that we tie this to our community plan, which is up for review in 2018, I believe, and just consider that a little bit in the future. And the other thing is in relation to what's written in our agenda, and what we have up there is a slight difference, and it's to point out the fact that the innovation series, because it refers to an innovation summit as a singular, but what's intended is an innovation series, and it relates, it suggests here that an innovation summit initiative that targets young people. And in discussion yesterday, councillors were of the view that that's an important theme, but we need to be inclusive of the people who live in this city. And while we want to invite young people, and that's going to be one of the early discussions that is had, it's one of a series of themes that will be important to the community and to council. Here endeth my diatribe. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bishop. And just on behalf of the Mayor, since she isn't here today, I'll just speak. We were very fortunate to go down on a very unexpected visit to Sydney, and anyone who knows me, I'm not one for these sort of conferences, so I went down, though I was a bit dubious, but I can say I actually found it extremely beneficial. And to me, innovation is just the latest buzzword. It's a trendy word for, you know, what your mother always used to say to you, if you're not liking what's happening in your life, change what you're doing and you'll get different results. So I think we've summed that up in the word innovation now. And that's what this council is looking at doing. We're moving forward. The world is changing around us and we've got to change with it to get the good results. So there is going to be a series of summits, and the wording in the book didn't actually mention the word series, but we just wanted to make sure the community knew there will be a series of these summits, which I guess, again, a summit is a word for the old-fashioned community engagement. We decided to start with youth because we feel the businesses already do have Chamber of Commerce, the aged already have Redlands Ageing Well, so different other groups in the Redlands have some representation already, whereas we felt the youth might have been a good place to start with, and it'd be very exciting to get more feedback from them because it's perhaps one group that we don't talk to as much as the others. But there definitely will be a series of these innovation summits, and I'm for one, am really looking forward to that, and I think it'll be quite amazing what brainstorming and that will come out of them. So it was very interesting down at the Optus, listening to the various speakers, and also our Economic Development Board brings a wealth of knowledge from a variety of fields to us, which is a credit to them and a great asset to us. So, yep, we're moving forward and being innovative, or going with the pace of the world, I think is another way of putting it. So if there's no more discussion, I'll ask... Now, Peter, you moved that one, and you're happy to move it with... the amend. Yep, your comment as well. Thank you.
Yep, through you. Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I think the Economic Development Advisory Board, I think all the councillors have really appreciated the input that we've got from this board. It certainly stimulated a lot of great discussion, and I think it's been a wonderful initiative. Important to note, we're at the beginning of this journey, not the end, and really appreciate Councillor Bishop's comment, but we don't start with the end in mind, and we do, by definition, we need to be nimble and adaptable as we move through this process, and with the input that we get, whether it be from EDAB or from the community. I think that is, if we can't be innovative in our thinking when we're talking about innovation, well, we're failing the test. So I think that should go without saying. But just unpacking a couple of things from the latest update, the Think Space, I think we've talked about enough, and look forward to some of those summits and what we can unlock from some of the younger and older innovative thinkers in our community. There's still work, of course, in the healthcare and social assistance, education training space that's moving along. That's great. The branding program that we're looking at, I think we have so many and such a diverse range of offerings in this area that to try and encapsulate, that's really tough. So I guess the board identifies that that is a challenge, but it's also really important. So watch this space as we continue to move forward. We've got too many riches to choose from. The broadband infrastructure update. The practical things that are actually happening now, such as the internet business survey, that's providing some wonderful feedback, or not so wonderful feedback, depending on the way you look at it, that we do need to upgrade our infrastructure, identify those gaps and see what we can move into. But that's something that's real and practical and is happening now. It's not all just talking. And just a general comment on the Stradbroke Island Economic Transition Strategy. The word hamstrung has come up, and it is just interesting to note that the elected members of this council do not have a place on the implementation committee. Redland City Council does, but just interesting for the community to know that their elected members are not included in that at this point in time. So with that, happen to put the motion.
As amended, right. All in favour? Unanimous. Thank you. Right, 11.3.1, the SPS6 upgrade, Energex easement. Can I have a mover? Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Gleeson. Councillor Elliott, you'd like to speak to that?
Yes, thanks, Chair. 11.3.1, sewage pump S6 upgrade, Energex easement. This is, it's been around a long time, pump station 6. I think it's the way. And if we didn't have it, Cleveland would be knee-deep in it. And it's a necessary project. I love talking about Pump Station 6. Over the time I've been here, it seems to be head and shoulders above the rest, so more than happy to move it, Madam Chair.
Is there any other discussion on the no? Okay. Do you want to sum up again, Councillor Elliott? No, you're right.
Do you want that again?
Okay, I'll put the motion. Thank you, unanimous. Okay, there's no mayoral minute, but Councillor Edwards has a confidential urgent item of business without notice. Can I have a mover and seconder that this is actually a urgent business without motion and to go into confidential? Move, Councillor Gleeson. Councillor Tolte seconded. This is just the urgent.
Do we need to establish the urgency as a prior before we go into confidential?
What do we do? Tick, tick. Either way. So which way will we do it? Do it before we go in or now?
The matters.
So we can put the check.
The matter's actually confidential, so there's no question on
we
that.
Can't
it's just whether
about
you want to go into the debate. My understanding was that you had got a notice of the motion, so you should have that. The councillor, Councillor Edwards, believes it's urgent given that we have had some discussions around this in the past. So if you guys think it's not urgent, that's what the first motion is about. So if you need to discuss if it's urgent, you probably need to go into confidential.
So do we put the checklist up on the board?
Took it in the leg, so.
Okay, moved in the confidential by Councillor Elliott, seconded by Councillor Edwards. So we'll do it that way.
Can we do it that way?
We can do it that way, move into confidential first.
We need to establish it's urgent.
Okay, so we can
session.
Put the checklist up on the up on the board like I asked, and there's the how many of them need ticking? And we only need to have one? Okay, Councillor, so if you look at the checklist, to me it does tick some of those, especially number two, does this matter require a decision that only Council can make? It's a definite tick there. Yeah, but we were going to move into confidential, but you said we had to do the... We just got advice that we can do this once we've gone into confidential.
Madam Chair, given the nature of the issue and the confidentiality surrounding it, I don't believe it is possible for councillors to properly debate whether or not the matter is urgent without getting into the subject matter. There's nothing in the Standing Orders or the Local Government Act that prevents councillors voting to go into confidential session and then resolving whether the matter's urgent or not within confidential session.
Okay, so we're...
Into confidential.
We're back to the into confidential motion, which Councillor Elliott has moved and Councillor Edwards seconded. Are we all in favour of going into confidential? Thank you. Unanimous. So thank you to everyone who joined us.
Okay, now
that we're back on, we're now out of confidential and we're voting on whether this is, the camera has been put back on, and we're now voting on whether this is a urgent matter, and Councillor, move Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Gleeson, all in favour. Okay.
Okay. So it's unanimous.
Can I hear the hand? See those hands again? It's unanimous. This is the vote that it's urgent. Yep. Okay. Thank you. So it's unanimous. Can I now have a motion that we go back into confidential? Councillor Edwards seconded. Councillor Tolte. No, Councillor. You're not having a question. Yes, Councillor Elliott. Your question is.
Is it necessary to go into confidential?
I think it is.
Okay.
So Councillor Edwards has moved. We go back into confidential. Councillor Tolte has seconded that motion. We're putting the motion that we're going to go back into confidential. All in favour? Unanimous. So now we will just pause for a second while we turn everything back off. Now I will ask Councillor Edwards to put the motion. Is that correct? Move the motion. Thank you. And seconded Councillor Elliott. All in favour? Unanimous. Thank you. Sorry, Councillor Hewlett, your hand didn't go up then. Can I just check? Sorry, I didn't see it. Okay, so we will close the meeting. Thank you very much to everybody and to the officers who attended, and we're closing the meeting at 10:51. Thank you. Now, councillors, I have asked that the Mayor-Councillor meeting be brought forward, and lunch will also...